Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning. It is the start of a brand new week. My name is Sue, your joyful wellness guru on Blog Talk Radio. I hope that you're planning a wonderful week coming up, and it includes Thanksgiving this week. And, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit today about what I'm particularly grateful for. I am particularly grateful for a woman who is sometimes known as Mistress Flood, and I'm going to introduce her to you right now. Her real name is Donna. Donna, how are you today? Thank you so much for being on the air with us.
I'm very well this day, I thank you.
Good,
it's a privilege.
Good. I was just telling the listeners that sometimes you are known as Mistress Flood. Can you tell us in what circumstances you're known as Mistress Flood?
Mistress Jane Flood is the character that I am now portraying at some of the Renaissance fairs that take place in Northern California.
Excellent. And when is the next such fair and where?
The next fair that Mistress Jane will be attending is Valhalla Fair. It is at Camp Richardson in South Lake Tahoe. It takes place the last weekend in May, first weekend in June.
Now, I'm going to put an idea out to my listeners, and I'd really love your take on it. It might take me a minute or so to articulate this idea, but it's another spin on planning your fun, because it doesn't just happen, and the fact that fun and joy and pleasure really add years to our lives, and they're so, so very important, and they can also be an important facet in the educational factor. You know, when we want to learn about something, it's much, much easier to learn about something when it's funny to you, or when it's just fun to learn it. It's much easier to comprehend it, to assimilate it, and to retain it. Can you speak to those, either of those two points?
Well, definitely a spoonful of sugar will make the education go down. I also find that if I want someone to remember something, if I can make a little joke about it or a funny pun or something that is just more than an unadorned fact, then it'll be more likely to stick in their memory. It's a mnemonic device. And they'll go, oh, yeah, I remember that. I chuckled when she said it.
Right,
and,
right.
Absolutely. And the planning, the fun part is, as you said, fun doesn't just happen. You can't just wait for it. You got to go out and look for it. And if you like going out and seeing people dressed in strange clothing, speaking with a strange twist to their English, eating fine food, drinking fine drink, whether it be plain or alcoholic, that's available depending on your age and your personal preference. Beautiful crafts, some hand-done, some imported. We have both available. A lot of importance is placed on the handwork. There's some beautiful work being done out in that world.
Absolutely. I've seen it myself. I was lucky enough to be invited in to the Flood Family Circle, into the Ambrose Troupe of actors or players. And it was great fun to act with your troupe, Donna, at the last fair in Folsom. I was also hoping that you could speak a little bit about the facts upon which you try to educate people who come by at the fair, just the fair goers, what they can learn from watching your portrayal or your group's portrayal of the Flood family.
We try to, first of all, dress as historically accurately as possible. This sets the stage. A person looks at one of us and doesn't see denim, doesn't see a weird color. Well, to my Elizabethan eyes, a weird or impossible color. Doesn't see a print that looks Victorian, because they didn't do prints at that time. Solids was the rule.
Right.
And
right.
We show them by our interactions, I as the daughter of a knight and the daughter-in-law of a knight, accord to my father-in-law a certain degree of deference, markedly so in the eyes of the contemporary egalitarian American. We don't have that kind of deference, but it informed our every motion. We knew who we were, to whom we owed the deference, beginning with the queen and going on down, and who owed us deference, beginning with those who are lower born and working up to our peers. We knew where we were in this comfortable setting, and it greased the wheels of our social interactions.
Absolutely. And can you speak to the differences that I saw in costuming between the players who were portraying something historically accurate from the Elizabethan era and the fairgoers who might have been dressed up as Xena warrior princess or fairies or wizards or other things?
We love to have the public come play with us. If they want to play with us in a Darth Vader suit or in a Xena brass brassiere or in a Chinese polyester version of Renaissanceoid dress, their hearts are in the right place. They've set aside their normal reality and are indulging their fantasy side, their childer side, their let's just get out and take an 8-hour break from the lady who has to go and cut people's hair or type out another, you know, memo on the computer, or the gentleman who has to worry about the account. He can sit back, stand around, have a beer. He's somebody else for 8 hours.
Mhm. Mhm. Absolutely. And there was something else that was really, really fun for myself and my son that I brought along with me, and it helped get him very, very hooked on becoming a player as well. And what we participated in was a sort of an occasional skirmish between the Flood family and the Scots, or the men who were dressed as and portraying the Scots and the Royal Scots. Can you tell us a little more about that and describe how all that happened and what happened?
That just sort of grew, as my grandmother was used to say, like Topsy. It wasn't planned. It wasn't structured. It just happened. The Scots came by, and for some reason we decided that, they started doing one of their presentations on the ground in front of our pavilion, and when they turned to us with our halberds grounded and growling at us, we took offense, and we grabbed our wooden spoons and rushed out behind up my Lady Flood, in order to defend our household. Our menfolk were gone, and there was no one left but the ladies to defend the household from these growling, menacing males. And then we got together with the actors, and the St. Ambrose acting group and the gentleman who played the Scots worked this out so that when they did this, they would expect it, because they didn't expect women rushing at them with wooden spoons the first time. They were good. They played back, but they didn't expect it. And the rubric is generally surprise the character, not the actor.
Right,
so we got
right.
together after hours and said, okay, this was a fun gig. People loved it. And we expanded
right.
it to a visit to the Scots encampment and a menacing warning not to come messing with the ladies of the household of Sir Thomas Flood.
Now, one thing I just have to insert here is that this visit to the Scots encampment was originally my own son's idea. He wanted vengeance in play. He wanted vengeance on the Scots and to spy on them.
He's a very articulate young man. He's got good ideas, and he's taking to this like a duckling takes to water.
He is. He is truly a player in his heart, and he loved every minute of it with you.
Well, we're glad because we need young blood. Our fair children are now adults on their own, and they still play with us, but it's lost its magic. They grew up with it.
Right.
And this is
right.
A young heart who is coming to it, and it's still magical.
Right, right, absolutely. I think, you know, it can never lose its magic for me. I don't know about for my son, but I'm pretty sure that for me it will never, ever lose its magic because I've been going to the Ren Fair for many, many years since I was very little, and that has never lost its magic. And I keep wishing that there were more Ren Fairs around here and even in Southern California that I could go to with you and portray these characters.
Well, there's one been added now in San Jose. They have a fantasy fair in April, and there's a Ren Fair later on in the year. I'm not sure. It conflicted with something else I was doing. There's also one in San Luis Obispo that can be Googled. Just, you know, Ren Fair, San Luis Obispo. And, of course,
right.
The one in Gilroy,
right.
Which is the scion of the original Renaissance Pleasure Fair North and still has the right to call itself by that title, which was the sib to the Renaissance Pleasure Fair South, which was started down in Agoura by Ron and Phyllis Patterson almost 60 years ago.
Wow. Nice. Now, the reason for today's show in particular is just to remind people that these opportunities for fun are out there and that these opportunities for fun can also be educational, and that I really want to strongly encourage people listening to find their own form of fun. And if Ren Fair is it for you, that's great. I would love to see you there. I'm sure Mistress Flood, otherwise her real name is Donna, would also love to see you there. Donna Lake, thank you again so much for being here with us. And if anybody out there is interested in getting in touch with Donna and finding out how they can become a member of the St. Ambrose Acting Troupe, which plays at the Ren Fair, where can they contact you, Donna, or should they contact somebody else?
Well, they could go to Facebook, St. Ambrose Acting Group. Its acronym is STAG. They could. That would probably be the best way, although I don't want to put my phone number out on the radio. But we also have a website, and there's a contact. There should be contact information on the website.
Excellent.
But I would like to say that we would love to have patrons come, because on a crass commercial note, if you guys don't come, we don't have a playground.
Right. It's so much more fun with more people. The more the merrier.
The merrier. Yes. Yes.
I totally agree. Folks, if you want to call in and ask Donna a few questions today, the number for the radio show is 347-677-1860. Please feel free to call in and make a comment or ask a question today. And if you do, you will win a half-hour upgrade to a massage. Compliments of my own business, Perfect Day Massage, here in Petaluma. And let's see. So, Donna, what else can you tell us about the crafts that you study because you got into them because of Ren Fair?
Well, I've been a seamstress since I was 13, always improving my art. The two specific things that I learned since I began Ren Fairing is spindle spinning of wool, essentially, and making cording on an instrument called a lucette. The best analogy is, remember that old spool that your grandmother had with the four nails in it? And you wrapped the thread around it and lifted each loop over the nail and turned and turned and turned, and it came out a round cord. That's a lucette with lucette has but two horns. and it makes a nice square cording that you can use for tying lacing, lacing your bodice to your doublet to your nether stocks. The Vikings used it to create cordage for their long ships. It's about a 1,000-year-old art. The other art is the art of spinning. Spinning brought, it was a technological advance that people don't even think about, but you can't have a bowstring without spinning. And a bowstring
right.
made it easier to provide food for your table. You can't have cloth without taking fibers that are just fluffy nothings and spinning them around each other and creating a cord and then interlocking those cords with each other, either on a spinning loom, a weaving loom, or, as I'm doing right now, with a pair of knitting needles.
Oh.
And all of that requires the art of taking, as I say, a fluffy bunch of nothing and turning it into a cord. It's much stronger, like the bundle of sticks that you can't break, where each individual stick just cracks like, you know, a twig, but together the twigs, you can't break them. That's what we do with spinning.
Right, right. Gotcha. Now, folks, the reason I asked Donna to speak to this matter is because I want it understood that the players at the Ren Fair deserve some respect for researching what they do before they do it, before they put it on for you, because it's not just all emptiness. It's not. It's actually built on research. They look at historical texts and manuscripts, and they take historical happenings and they act them out, and they take what we learned long ago and they use it and they teach it. So if you want a great place to get a taste of these things that they've learned how to do, this is a great way to get a taste of that, to get a taste of what it's like to try a spinning wheel, to try a lucette, to try speaking the speech of the Elizabethan era. And this is why I encourage it, and this is why I go. I go to get a taste of what it was like in the old days to do these things and to eat some of the foods that were authentically from that era and to see some of the games that they really played, because that's fun for me. And it's fun for a lot of people. I see a lot of people going to the Ren Fair and really, really enjoying it. Can you speak to that, Donna?
Yes. We have particular friends who dress as beautifully as we do and just come as patrons. Because that's, and they come every year and they're dressed as beautifully every year. There's a lot of research of the internet every day. More stuff is being made accessible electronically. We've changed a whole gamut of things that we realized weren't. The movies are not a research tool. Can we say the movies are not a research tool? Programs like the Tudors are very well in their way, but when they play, get a dark-haired Mediterranean gentleman to play a red-haired, blue-eyed Welshman, I have a problem. I'm speaking, of course, of Henry VIII, who was a red-haired, blue-eyed Welshman, as was his daughter, a redhead. After a while, her red came out of a henna bottle rather than her own hair, but still. They were a bawdy, lusty people. We studied them and make accessible the dry history. You know, the paragraph in the history book says he did this on this date and it resulted in a great result. And we go out and we say, oh, did you hear? King Henry just did, or Queen Elizabeth just, you know, and those horrible Spaniards. And we make it as though it's live to us, as though we had just read it on a newspaper and are spreading the word. And when, of course, when the Queen actually comes to our humble market fair. We are so blown away, is the contemporary phrase, by the fact that the Queen is coming to our spot and will grace us with her presence for a few hours, that we just sort of beside ourselves and don't know what to do. We dither around and we get our best clothes on and we just, the Queen is coming. God save her.
That's fun. And it was really wonderful fun to all stand around. I was loving just standing lined up with all of you, singing some little ditty as the Queen was passing by with her entourage. Something about may she reign in
long may glory. She reign in majesty glorious, ever victorious, God save the Queen.
That was it. That was wonderful. I loved it because it was just so simple and so much fun to just stand there enjoying the atmosphere, you know, because everybody was doing it.
And meaning it.
Yeah.
And that's where the acting part comes in. We mean it. We bow. I'll stand talking to a patron. Out of the corner of my eye, I see a nobleman and a noble woman walking by. And as they're walking by, I dip into a reverence and say, God save you, my Lord. And he'll give me the permission to stand up. I have acknowledged him. He has acknowledged me. The patron has no clue what's going on, but sees an interaction, at which point I can break character a little bit and explain why I did what I did.
Right, right. And I think on a lot of levels it also just helps develop or redevelop courtesy, common courtesy between people of today, because they see it. It's like it's the old saying about children learn by example. Well, we all learn by example. And the best leaders lead from behind and lead by doing and lead by example. And we're setting the example of sort of our Sunday best manners because this is the way people behaved in the Elizabethan era.
And it isn't. Courtesy is not an expression of servility. You're not saying that you're a lesser person than the person to whom you're extending the courtesy, although in the day that was true. In these
right.
days, courtesy is just it's a spice. It's a
uh-huh.
touch of whipped cream on the interactions of life.
Right.
And when you do it, when you do perform a courtesy for someone and you get that delighted surprise in their eyes, it makes you feel good. Makes me feel good anyway.
Absolutely. And apparently my son made someone feel so good when he taught them how to play the little games out in the front yard of the Flood family's tent that they tipped him $2.
Oh my. Which is not why we're out there, people. We are not out there for tips. But, you know, he must have done a really good job with them.
Yeah, exactly right. And back in the day, there were always little favors and little payments to, you know, even to somebody else's little errand child that was running an errand for you. Can you speak to that? Because I'm not getting the terminology right.
Well, you know, you ride up, you're a nobleman. You ride up, you flip the urchin a farthing, which is a quarter of a penny, to hold your
mm-hmm.
horse.
Mm-hmm.
For one, the horse is well enough caparisoned and probably bearing an armorial coat of arms to say who you are, who the horse belongs
right.
to. And B,
right.
you don't have to worry about the horse. It's like giving
right.
your car to the parking valet.
Right. Absolutely.
And he takes care of your car for you. A maid servant would run a message from one lady to another and would get maybe a whole penny, depending on who the two ladies were. But she would get a douceur, a sweetener for her service. mm-hmm. which she could then save, and the next time there was a market fair, she could buy herself a bit of silk ribbon to be
right.
worn on her own personal time.
Right. Now, the Renaissance Fair is based on the idea of a fair day, which was a celebration. Well, correct me if I'm wrong. I may be thinking of Moss. Celebration of payday, a sort of a payday.
It was. The two fairs, Much Ado About Sebastopol in Sebastopol in late September, right around, excuse me, right around the solstice, and then mm-hmm. the later fair in October, both are presented as harvest fairs. The 4 days that people were paid once a quarter on the church holidays associated with the procession of the equinoxes and solstices. So on the autumn solstice is St. Michael's Day or Michaelmas, they would get a quarter of their weights. Now, a servant in a well-to-do household, a higher-level servant, could make as much as maybe a whole 5 or 6 pounds a year.
Mm-hmm.
A pound is not worth $2 $1.87. A pound is worth a lot of money. I don't know what it would be worth in current, but considering 5 pounds a year, you got clothing, you were given housing, and you were given food. And there were no utilities to pay for. So your money, your 5 pounds, was your money. You didn't have to spend it then on other considerations. You didn't have to buy food. You were fed. You didn't have to buy clothing. You were given clothing. Your contract, which was an informal contract, but your contract with your master, with your employers, included livery.
In
the greater house.
Donna, I'm sorry, I got to interrupt you. We have 2 minutes left, but let's tell them where they can learn more from that Compendium of Common Knowledge. It's a book, folks. Get the book called Compendium of Common Knowledge if you want to learn a little bit more about how people were paid and how much they were paid and what the currency was like and just little things. It's great for bathroom reading, as I've found, because the information comes at you in little snippets in this book. Do you want to tell them a little more about that book, Donna, in the last 2 minutes here?
Well, that also resides in my restroom in front of my throne, and I, especially in fair season, will take to looking through it. It tells you how to address your superiors, your inferiors, your equals. It tells you how to express your relationship with God, and everyone had a personal relationship with God. It's not like today everyone went to church.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother 2 hours of discussion.
Right.
Most accessible right now, I think, way of picking up some history and absorbing some background.
Uh-huh.
It is called Compendium of Common Knowledge. It's ElizabethanEra.org.
Now, folks, if you want a bit more, I can put you on to a bit more later. If you want to give me a call at 707-762-3578, that's the Sonoma County area code, 707-762-3578. Donna, would you like to say a quick goodbye to our listeners?
Well, in the parlance of the time, I wish you all a good, very good day from me and mine to thee and the thine. A blessed holiday upon Thursday next, giving thanks unto God for all that he hath wrought for us and for our benefit. And if that offends you, I prithee forgive me.
Wondrous well. Good morrow, good woman, and God bless.
God you good den, my dear.
That was my mentor, Donna Lake, otherwise known as Mistress Flood. She is my mentor in all things Ren Faire, And she took me under her wing in terms of making me a player at the Renaissance Fair. And I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your week considering all these wonderful options you have for fun, because it doesn't just happen. You have to make it happen. My name's Sue, your joyful wellness guru. Have a wonderful rest of your week. Bye-bye now.